The following program is brought to you in living color.
See this earth? It's been resting. Now it's good. Someday I'm going to buy this land and I'm going to make a great wine. But here on this wreck of a vineyard.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Amazing creature. She deceives everybody.
You swine!
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you never wanted to know about wine and didn't care to ask. That's what we're here for. We are virtual founts of information, and we're here to share our wisdom with you. Yes, we've had a lot of fun on shows lately, making fun of labels, talking about the lighter side of wine, but today we are truly going to epitomize what the lighter side of wine is. We have a great guest with us today. We have Mr. Randall Graham. He's an author. He's a winemaker. He's the president of Bonnie Doon Vineyard. He's a James Beard award-winning guy, but most importantly, he's very tongue-in-cheek. He has a very unique way of looking at wine, the approach to wine, his quotes. I've used his book a lot on the show to come up with interesting things to tell you facts about wine, so he can give us truly a lighter version of it. But since we're going to be talking to Randall Graham, it makes me focus on two things. I'd love to do a three-hour show about Riesling, but let's face facts, I am the Chardonnay sipping diva, and there's only so long I can talk about a white grape that's not my precious Chardonnay. So we're going to talk about Rieslings a little bit because so many of you have asked so many questions about Rieslings themselves. They are truly the ubiquitous grape. They can be a little bit of everything. They can be dry. They can be sweet. They can be oily. They can be floral. So we're going to try and straighten out some of the concerns you may have about Riesling. Another part of the show is going to be dedicated to the whole aspect of the tongue-in-cheek part about wine. It seems that some of you out there have not really rested easy about some of my allusions to labels and making wine simpler and easier to approach. So I'm going to answer your emails on today's show and have a lot of fun with them. Kent, you have that very concerned look on your face.
You never sound sincere when you say that. You don't sound like you really want to do that.
Oh, I really do.
You do?
In fact, I'm very much looking forward to it.
Oh, why? Now, are you going to rip somebody up? Is that why you're enjoying this so much?
Okay, I am. It goes back to the fact that we are the wine show for everybody. And if you're going to take wine overly seriously to the point where you want to give me a history lecture on how wine has impacted civilization, I'll be happy to sit down and have a glass of wine and chat with you about it. But don't send it over email. And if you're going to send it over email, spell check it first. So we're going to have some fun today.
All right.
But before we get off and rolling, I cannot believe I have to do this, but I'm going to do two wine recommendations today. Number one, they're all white. And number two, they're not Chardonnay. So it's going to be a little traumatic for me, but I'm sure I'm going to get through it. Because we are putting our hats off to Riesling, I wanted to recommend two different styles and two different types of wine. And since we do have Randall on the show today, I do want to recommend his Bonnie Doon Pacific Rim Sweet Riesling. Pacific Rim is a great, great line of wines. They do a whole bunch of different Rieslings and different styles, not to mention they have gorgeous packaging. For those of you who like something a little bit eclectic and like the painted glass series, these are definitely the wines for you. But what's neat is he doesn't just limit himself to one area of the world to make his Rieslings. The one we're talking about today, it is a blend of German Riesling and also a blend of Columbia Valley Riesling from Washington State. It is very unique in how it approaches things, but it's got that great floral melon grass, light, sweet apricot flavor that blends with any of the barbecue sauces, anything you're doing on the grill. I like this with Thai food. It really cuts the chilies, it cuts the curry, and makes everything really refreshing, and it cleanses your palate. So Bonnie Doon Vineyard's Pacific Rim Sweet Riesling, you can find this probably at your local Mega Mart for $12 and under. And for those of you who are doing picnic wines, going out to concerts, going out and just enjoying the lovely summer weather, this is the wine for you. Now, when you look at Riesling, Riesling is truly a chameleon. It can do a lot of different things. So whereas we have the Bonnie Doon Sweet Riesling, I want to recommend one of the classic Rieslings. Not that Randall's not classic. He just hadn't been around for 200 years. Over in Germany is pretty much considered the founding spot of Riesling. It is where they have made it pretty much an iconic part of their culture. This is what German wine is all about. This is what they founded themselves on. Yes, some people will argue me that Alsace has a better bent on it. I don't care. Germany has the history. And Dr. Lucin, specifically, you may have heard his name before. We have talked about his joint venture with Chateau St. Michel. But Dr. Lucin, he is a great guy in the sense that he really cares about what's going on. The winery has been family owned for over 200 years. And what he does is he tries to make his Rieslings approachable. Now, we're going to get into the show a little bit later and talk about how difficult it can be to read an overseas Riesling label. But ultimately, Dr. L does just a plain 2008 Riesling. It's a German Riesling. It actually just says Dr. L and Riesling on the front of it. So this is their entry-level Riesling into everything they do. It's from the Moselle region, and it's very vibrant. It has the great flavors. It has a great slate taste to it. It has a little bit of mineral to it, and it's not overly cloyingly sweet. This is one of the drier style Rieslings. It's a really, really good balance, has a great flavor. Interestingly enough, for those of you that care, it is the number 62 wine on the Wine Spectator Top 100 for last year, but very approachable, and once again, it falls in that category of being very affordable. So this one you can find for 15 and under in your local Mega Mart. And what I really, really like about this wine, and this is something interesting as we talk about Rieslings, the alcohol content on this wine is only 8.5%. And it's not overly sweet, it's not overly cloying, but it's not like sitting down and having two glasses of that 15.5 Chardonnay that I tend to love to drink. So there are your two recommendations for today. We have Dr. L 2008 Riesling, and we have Randall Graham's Pacific Rim Riesling. So people always ask, Laura, why are you making such a big to-do about Rieslings? You know, why do you mention it and kind of say it's the all-time wine? I have never seen a wine, even my precious Chardonnay, those of you who swear to your red wines, that at any given time can go with any meat, any sauce, whether it's hot, whether it's spicy, whether it's sweet, whether it's a pesto base. If you have to get through a dinner, and I know I swear champagne does it, Riesling will do it for you. Everybody around the table will somehow find something that they're enjoying to drink. And it's just a natural occurrence. We talk about Rieslings usually hand-in-hand with Gewürztraminers when it comes to Thanksgiving or when we talk about Easter and talk about hams. But the whole point, if you look at what we talked about with Bonnie Doon Pacific Rim, this is where this wine finally got reinstated and where it took off again. If you think about our parents, if you think about our grandparents, if you think about wine lists back in the 60s and 70s, Riesling was pretty much it. This sweet wine, you couldn't understand the label. It looked like it had little hobbits or those little blue nuns across the front of it, literally. And it was sometimes hard to palate. Well, with the influx in the melting pot that the United States is, with so many great Thai restaurants, with so many great Indian restaurants, with so many great Chinese, Japanese, when the sushi fan really, really took off around the country, and all of a sudden you had to find something to pair with wasabi besides beer, it became perfect for you to sit back and try a Riesling. Now, this is interesting. I will never declare myself a wine expert. In fact, I'd say every day that I love this business because I'm never bored and I always find something new and interesting. But the people who have been around this business for much, much longer than I have, when you ask them point blank what their favorite wines are, what they have come to understand is the pinnacle of what a wine can be, it's going to be Riesling. Because it pairs well, it ages well. If you think about this, Riesling in its state, a dry Riesling can age 15 to 20 years. A sweet Riesling, well, not that we really age them that often, but if you start getting to some of the botrytis-infected Rieslings, they can age 25 to 40 years. So there is a longevity to it that you don't find with another white wine and a flexibility you don't often see. So we're definitely going to take some of your calls and emails about Riesling today, but I don't mean to bore you. We are going to give you a little bit of a history lesson about the grape Riesling. But, of course, we have to do it tongue-in-cheek as well, because when you think about trying to convince everybody in the United States to put down their Chardonnay and put down their Cabernet to drink a sweet wine, I can already imagine the phone calls I'm getting. Speaking of phone calls, we ask you to reach out to us, 877-4CRUSH1, and say hello to Kent. He's looking a little bored in the booth. Or you can email me personally at lauralawson@winecrush.com. While you're thinking about that, we'll take a small break, and when we return, your education continues.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
It's the Wine Crush.
I got a letter from your lawyer today, ordering me to sign my life away. Instead of signing on the dotted line, I poured myself another glass of wine.
You're listening to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we are examining the merits of the Riesling grape. And we are doing this because so many of you have taken such a great interest in it. So to kick this off, I have an email right now from Darren, and Darren is in Pennsylvania. And Darren writes, "I just listened to an old show of yours online, and you mentioned to drink a Riesling with hot foods. I did some research and found out there are a lot of different Rieslings. Which type do you recommend?" Well, Darren, first of all, I'm going to congratulate you on going to thewinecrush.com and listening to my old shows. It's always great to see how much infinite wisdom I have over the years and to check them out. For those of you who just want entertainment value, feel free. The whole archive of The Wine Crush is on the website, and you can listen to them at your leisure.
You might want to listen to some of the early ones, too. Those are fun.
They're fun? You're very, very funny.
I see how much you progressed down through the last few years here.
I'm sensing a little bit of sarcasm coming from the booth today.
Just a little.
Okay, good. Good to know. Well, Darren, in all seriousness, Riesling falls in that category of a cloner, meaning there's a lot of different Riesling-type grapes out there. But the most interesting, when you look at it hardcore, there's only one type of Riesling when we're talking about Riesling that I am discussing, and it is the basic white Riesling. Or the Johannesburg Riesling. And when you're talking about wines, it's very, very easy to get confused. For those of you who have studied wines at length, there are two grapes out there that give you fits. At least they give me fits. One is Carignan, and the other is Riesling. Because when it comes down to it, there are so many different things that are named Riesling that it's going to give you just a terrible, terrible headache. When you look at it, the grapes that are not true Riesling, Welsh Riesling, Schwartz Riesling, Cape Riesling, Grey Riesling, and like I said, White Riesling is the real Riesling. It's also called Johannesburg Riesling, and it occasionally is called Rhine Riesling. But if you really want to get something entertained, go on Wikipedia and put Riesling names. It will print out four different pages of what Riesling is called around the world. And you can get so lost in pronunciations and trying to figure it out, it's easier just to remember, if a bottle says Riesling on it or a bottle says Johannesburg Riesling on it, that's what you're looking for. Everything else, especially if you're here in the States, don't worry about, don't think about it, don't bother with it. Because seriously, once you start getting into Schwartz Riesling, stuff like that, truth be known, you're drinking Pinot Meunier, and it's a long way from the soft white Riesling that we all like. So hopefully that helps you out a little bit. Just be careful looking for what you like. But trust me, anything you're finding that says Riesling on the bottle is the type of variety you want to drink. It's interesting to look at the different clones and look at where this grape has come. It's an argument that's ongoing about what exactly Riesling is, where it came from, and why it's here. They've started to do DNA cloning on Riesling to try and figure out exactly where it came from, what made it. You know, we talk about Pinot Noir. Did everything come from Pinot Noir? Nope, probably not. But they're thinking that slowly but surely it came from Treminer, and meaning Gewürztraminer, or at least the Italian version of Treminer. So they're talking, oh, I don't know, 1300s, 1200s, which for the record, it's interesting. Riesling is probably, they're trying to ascertain this, they have managed to go back to written literature back to 1342, and it is the first grape varietal actually named. There is some debate over, there's some Italian entries from the BC ages, but they aren't entirely sure what the name of the grape was and if it transitioned. But since we started seeing Riesling in the 1300s, we can pretty much figure it's been around since then. Now, one last little catch. This I always find fun. I get in arguments occasionally with some true wine people that ask me if I've ever had a red Riesling. And it's always fun to play around with them because they talk about, oh, the great color and the great bouquet and the great everything else. So if you want to stump your wine friends, yes, there is a red Riesling. But it's a white grape. So next time they start talking about the lovely red color and the grape berry bouquets, you can look at them and realize, like I've told you for years, yes, you know more than they do. So investigating further a little bit of Rieslings, we have an email from Karen, and Karen writes us from Wisconsin. You once mentioned to look for long, skinny bottles when looking for sweet wines. My local wine shop recently gave me a Riesling in a regular bottle. What is the difference, and was I steered wrong? To go back to the tradition of Riesling, once again, we've covered it. It's Germany's bastion. You're talking 1300s with this wine. And back then, it was very hard to keep bottles consistent. And it was hard to get things produced, and it was hard to get glass. And once you had glass, to get the resin on the top, to get the corks on the top, they had to find some way to make it easier. So when they standardized the bottles back in Germany, it was easier for them to make the long, skinny bottles. They also learned that the darker the bottle, the better the wine kept. So you'll find the dark brown bottles and the dark green bottles. Well, those traditions has carried on today. So a lot of your Rieslings, especially from Germany, especially from Alsace, especially even here in the States, whether it's Washington State, they try and honor the color of the bottles. Now, before you ask the question, remember, light is definitely an enemy of wine. So the darker the bottle, the less light got to it, and it was easier for the wine to persevere. When you consider that the fastest way to carry wine back in the 1300s was a cart and buggy over the mountains, you can understand after the six-month trip why the wine would need some help. So no, you weren't steered incorrectly. What you're finding now is a new trend. Riesling is a cold climate grape. And when you say a cold climate grape, it's supposed to be grown in areas where they get nice breezes. It doesn't get over 90 degrees. Riesling's kind of finicky. But what's happening around the world is people are realizing the versatility of Riesling. So pretty much anywhere you find Pinot Noir, you're finding Riesling grown, which means it used to be grown in maybe a third of the countries. Now there's pretty much no place it's not grown. At one point, it was the 20th largest planted variety. And what's interesting in looking at that is, keep in mind, I told you there's about 10,000 different names for Riesling, so it could have actually been the seventh largest planted variety. They just can't get together on the names. But as it's going around the country, people are, well, if someone in Australia is going to put a Riesling together, they don't want it to be confused in the grocery store with something from Germany. They want to stand out. And it goes back to what we've discussed on the shows in the past about the packaging emphasis everyone seems to be putting on wines these days. So whether it's from New Zealand, whether it's from Australia, I've seen some recently from California, they are going into the basic Bordeaux varietal bottles, which means the basic wine bottles you know, the ones that Cabernet come in, the one that Merlot come in. I have seen Rieslings produced here. Now, there's also another reason for this, and it's funny, it has entirely to do with marketing and selling to people. Rieslings that are in restaurants, they are in cold boxes. Think about every place you go in to buy a Riesling. The tall, skinny bottles are getting to the point where they don't fit in coolers and they don't fit in wine racks. The standardized approach of all the cool ones you can buy at Crate and Barrel, all the neat flowing ones you can find online, Riesling bottles don't fit. So a lot of these winemakers realized that if they wanted their Riesling poured in a grocery store or poured in a restaurant, they had to be proactive. And so in doing so, they came out with a regular Bordeaux bottle and they added a screw cap to it. So even though it's not the traditional Riesling, you were not steered incorrectly. It is something worth drinking. It is something worth looking at. But ultimately, if you're out shopping and you want to get a true sense of style, you need to find the tall, skinny bottles, the brown bottles, the green bottles, because let's just face facts, tradition does hold true occasionally when it comes to wine. Well, we're going to move on, take a small break right here, but when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about Rieslings and talk about the lighter side of wine as well.
Feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide? between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach. Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Up to this point, we have been discussing Riesling, but I do want to address some of your concerns and some of your emails from previous shows about us not taking wine seriously enough here at The Crush. By the time I get done with this segment, those of you who would like to agree or disagree, feel free to do so, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email me directly, lauralawson@winecrush.com. So, to get into this whole segment, I'm going to go into the last thing of Riesling, which really has made it difficult for Americans and a lot of the New World drinkers to get into it. Up until the last 10 years, there's a set rating system. You know, we talk about the different laws in different countries. And Germany and Alsace and Austria all have different ways of labeling their wines. Now, here in the United States, it's very easy for us. We go to the grocery store, we see a bottle, it's marked Chardonnay, and I say sold. If you were to go over to a store in Germany or France or Austria and try and pick out a bottle of Riesling, you're going to be out of luck. You're going to have to know what you're looking for. And especially if you think you want to find one that says dry, one says sweet, one says semi-dry, not so much. In fact, we all know around here that English is barely my first language. But just to run through this, there are many different levels of Riesling. Actually, I believe there's specifically 7 if you're looking at Germany alone. We aren't going to get into Austria. We aren't going to try that. But there's basically your everyday table Riesling, and those are the QMP wines, but then they have to break it down into QBA. Now, for everyone who's out there that doesn't want to know a lot specifically about wine, give me 30 seconds, we'll fix it. Anyway, within the QBA, there's Cabernet, there's Spätlese, there's Auslese, there's Barrenauslese, Trockenbarrenauslese, there is ice wine, and even if you want to get into the Ostbrush, you can. Now, every single one of those words I said just meant a certain kind of Riesling, and it all varies on how it's harvested, how the grapes are picked, and it defines it all the way through to whether or not, literally, it was picked by individual berries. Now, I love my wine. I love Rieslings. I understand these. I enjoy going out and experimenting with them. But you can see how that's going to be very intimidating to a brand new novice wine drinker who all they want to do is to experiment with the varietal and see what it is. So this is why, when you look at things as a whole, we here at The Crush try and make things approachable. For those of you who want to learn more about the different things of Riesling, it'll be on our website. Check it out, winecrush.com. We'll go into all the different designations you can find, how they're picked and how they're designated. But ultimately, it comes down to the fact, just try the varietal. Try the wine. Whether it comes in a tall, skinny bottle, whether it comes in a regular Bordeaux bottle, try Riesling with your next Thai dish and tell me you won't be a convert. So in light of that, I have an email. This is from Ford in Chicago. Ford writes, I listened to last week's show and you spoke about the faults of taking wine seriously. Wine is a very historical beverage with much tradition around it. I feel it's a shame to talk about it so irreverently. It has more of a history than you do. Well, yes, Ford, it would have more of a history than I do. But see, here's the difference. As wine can't speak for itself, I can speak for wine. And Ford, while I appreciate that there's a lot of you out there who are very sincere and serious about your wine, we talked about this. I don't know if you're a hobbyist or if you're a professional. I will say this. If you're a professional in the business and you think I'm being too irreverent, you need to find another hobby. You need to find another line of work. Because ultimately, wine has a history because it has permeated society. Do you think people back in the BC times, do you think people in the 1300s were there to talk about the individual smells, flavors, and varieties of wine? Do you think they really cared? At that point, wine has a history because ultimately, let's face facts, it's an alcoholic beverage. It did more for culture in the fact that it could alleviate some pains as a medicine, or it could alleviate some sorrows as just something to drown them in, and that's why it's still around. It's not because it was iconic. It's not because it was something that people had to fall down and worship and revere. It was not something that the Chinese or the Alaskans came up with 1,000 different words for, such as cold. It was the tool they used to fight the battle of the cold, and that's what it comes down to. So, Ford, I do appreciate the fact there is a great history of wine. In fact, I study it a lot, and I enjoy the backgrounds, and I enjoy the stories, because I do believe, and I've said this time and time again, the stories do make the wine. The stories make Dom Perignon what it is when you have the little monk sitting there tasting the wine and saying, I'm seeing stars. The story makes the wine when you talk about the Davies in Napa Valley resurrecting an old barn and having to run owls and bats out so they could finish their fermentation. But does that history dictate what that wine tastes like to me? No, it doesn't. And that's what this show is about, and that's what this show is for, is to help people to learn this world, to take the mystique off it, and to get them enjoying. Because let's face facts, Ford, if we don't have more people enjoying wine and getting into the rhythm of having wine with dinner and with their meals, your knowledge isn't worth anything, and you're just going to become an anachronism. So, Ford, I hope that answers your question.
Hope that brightens your day, Ford.
Yes. I don't think it's something you like, but I encourage you. This time, tell you what, why don't you call me back, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Would love to talk to you about it on air. So keep in mind, for those of you who are feeling brave and want to send emails and call, I'm not always this sarcastic, and I really do welcome your calls if you're going to work on learning about wine. If you want to lecture the rest of us on the fact that we're not doing it correctly, trust me, I'm not doing it wrong. This is the new trend, is learning about wine in a fun way. I just recently read an article, and this kind of encapsulates it for me. You talk about wine with history. Get this. Blackmailer threatens to poison the world's most expensive wine vineyard. A French blackmailer attempted to extort 1 million euros from the estate of Romani Conti, the world's most expensive wine, by threatening to poison the vines. One of the letters from this blackmail included a map of the Romani Conti vineyards. It was written that if we didn't hand over 1 million euros, he would quite simply poison the vine stumps. The letters were very well written, and there was real knowledge of our domain. I didn't want to take the risk of being hostage, as we could be dealing with proper gangsters. To prove his determination, the extortionist said he had already poured a chemical on 2 vines, one of which was pulled out and handed over to investigators. However, the second vine is growing normally. It appears that this was a hoax. Now, this is someone who is trying to take the history of wine and use it against us. And even though I do find it on the surface very, very entertaining, this is what happens when we start taking wine too seriously. We do get held hostage, just like the people who make that amazing, wonderful Pinot Noir are in a situation where they're going to probably at some point build a fence and put a guard around this vineyard. If we take ourselves too seriously and don't appreciate what the earth gives us, then we're going to wind up totally at the mercy of people like these blackmailers. I don't know about you. Once again, great story, but it does make me a little sad. Well, we're going to take a break right here, but when we return, we will have Randall Graham. You will have someone very entertaining, very informative, and I hope very much on my side to listen to and have the entertaining part of the show when we return.
Visit WineCrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is The Wine Crush.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max added to your oil and your gas tank can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
This is Laura Lawson. You're listening to The Wine Crush. And right now, I have a great opportunity for all of us. I get to introduce what I consider to be one of the greatest men in the wine business. He is truly the Samuel Clemens of wine, Mr. Randall Graham. He is the owner of a vineyard. He is a James Beard Award. He knows more about food than all of us will ever know in our lifetime. And he's taking time to come here on The Crush today. Randall, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thank you very much.
It is so nice to have you on my show. You are one of the few icons left that truly understand that wine is a tongue-in-cheek beverage. There's satire associated with it. You cannot have a sense of humor and not appreciate wine.
Well, I think you appreciate it in a different way. So everyone has their own way, and I'm not sure if my way is recommended for everyone.
Oh, at least for those of us who are trying to learn, for those of us who enjoy wine, it's interesting. Today's show, we've been talking about two things, Riesling, and then I had done a past show talking about we need to work on making wine less mysterious and less serious. There's a lot of great facts. There's a lot of great humor. There's a lot of great stories involved in wine. But if we catch ourselves up and just worry about the history of wine, we're never going to find out what makes it move us individually. So that's what we're looking at today. So tell our listeners, let's start with, tell us all about Bonnie Doon. Tell us about your vineyard.
Well, we have a winery in Santa Cruz, in the town of Santa Cruz. I had a vineyard in Bonnie Doon some years back. Unfortunately, it perished of Pierce's disease. I hate that. And then we had, until fairly recently, a vineyard in Soledad, California, in the Salinas Valley. Whether good or for bad, I sold it recently about a month ago, and I'm hoping and planning to plant a new vineyard in a funny little town called San Juan Batista, which is not too far from here. And so that's really it for the moment. Bonnie Doon has had a long and, I don't know if I would call it a checkered history, but it's had a history. We've been a lot of different things. We're almost kind of a Rorschach test, I think. Everyone has a different belief about what Bonnie Doon is. But at one point, it was actually quite a large venture. We made quite a bit of wine and quite a number of different wines. But as of about 3.5 years ago, I sold our larger brands and shrunk the company quite significantly. And now it's a much smaller company and more focused and trying to do something of real substance at this point.
And probably much easier for you to manage with everything you have going on. Now, congratulations to you. Just received the 2010 Beard Award Foundation for your book, Been Doon So Long, a Randall Graham Venthology recognized as the Beverage Book of the Year. Tell us about your book.
Well, the book is pretty eclectic. I think that word is overused, but in this case, it's pretty applicable. It's a collection of really things that I've done over the last 20-some-odd years. A lot of it is literary parody. Somewhere along the line, I found that I had a talent for mimicry. And so there's a lot of literary parody. And then there's also some more sober essays, if you will. But it's a fun book. It's really, you don't want to read it all in an evening. It's kind of, you want to just sort of dose it out in little discrete doses.
Little bits and pieces. I like the concept of venthology. Where did that come from?
Well, when anyone asks me where anything comes from, my standard reply is usually drugs.
Mine's Chardonnay, so I can relate to that.
Well, mine is Sagrantino, but whatever.
Whatever fits. Well, as you look ahead, you have to admit, I've been looking at what you've done for more years than I will care to admit, whether it's your essays, things you have released, the wines when you would approach them, and you've always been ahead of the curve. You've always made, whether it's your writings or whether your wines, they're user-friendly. No one feels standoffish when they approach anything that you're involved in. Was that by design? Was that a reflection of your personality? What was the motivation?
Certainly both. And, you know, as Freud tells us, there's never a single motivation for anything that we do. But so some of it was my personality, certainly, and, you know, just sort of wanting people to like me. I'm over that, by the way, at this point.
Yeah, but hey, after a while, you just don't care anymore. Whether it's the drugs or Chardonnay, it doesn't matter.
Totally don't care.
No.
But the the other point is that, for good or for bad, I was working and still am working with a lot of grape varieties that are unknown to many people in this country. And therefore, I thought I had to really kind of reach out to them and make the wines more accessible, friendlier, and less threatening. So you can disarm people with humor on your label and make them feel much more comfortable. The downside or Doon side of that, of course, is that at a certain point, people may not take you quite as seriously as you want them to take you, and may not take the wines as seriously. So I think it's kind of a double-edged sword. We've disarmed people and charmed people, and that's totally great. But I think sometimes I'm not totally convinced the wines are appreciated for the seriousness that they convey.
You may have a different perception of this, but I certainly don't. I think you appeal to the best of both worlds. Easy for me to say. Ultimately,
cool.
you look at your ratings, you look at what people support you, and then you look at the fact that everybody who has seen your labels, who has actually tasted your wine and looked at it, has appreciated the fact it was approachable. I do think that you straddle that fence perfectly. And it's easy for us to get lost in either side of it. Oh, are my wine serious enough? Am I going to get the press? Am I going to get the sales? Or on the flip side of it, are people going to enjoy my wines? And when they're thinking of something fun, are they going to choose me? I think you have hit both categories undoubtedly.
Well, certainly we're... You know, the most important thing. Well, there's two important things. One, I have to like the wines. If I don't believe in the wines, then I failed. So I have to like the wines, and I do. That's good. And then at a certain point, you have to sell them. It really the critics. It doesn't really matter if the critics like it or not. It's lovely if they do, but at the end of the day, you still have to sell your wine one way or another. So we've somehow managed to do that.
Just to touch base, I know we're getting ready to have to wrap up here. When you look at your varietal history, I mean, you came out wanting to be the Pinot Noir giant. You made your legend and you made your wines based on Riesling, and now you're pretty much one of the founders of the Rhone Ranger. What have you come to terms with? What do you love?
Well, what I love is the idea of producing wines that are original, and I haven't really achieved that yet. I've had fun. I've had tremendous fun, and that's great, and made people happy. But I'm still searching for the elusive vin de terroir. In other words, a wine that expresses a sense of place, and that's really what I aspire to. And I'm going to give it the old college try.
Well, we're going to keep our fingers crossed for you on that, because one thing I will say with some certainty, you may not have totally encapsulated what you think is terroir, but I promise you've encapsulated your personality, and that's an exceptional thing for a man of your stature. So, Randall, thank you very much for being part of The Crush today. It was truly my pleasure, and hopefully as you move towards your new vineyard, we can have you back on the show and see what you're up to.
I would love to.
All right, Randall, you take care.
Thank
we're going to take
much.
A small break here on The Crush, but when we return, we're going to wrap up this great segment and tell you what Rieslings and Tongue in Cheek all have to do together.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 3517. 800-203-3517.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another. and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible, and today the sky is not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Crush, I'm Laura Lawson. We have been looking at different sides of the coin that no one ever thought I could put together today. Basically, we have evaluated the state of Riesling, where it's been, what it is today, and what it means for you. But also, we've looked at the concept of wine and your responses that sometimes wine may not be taken as seriously as it needs to. And I think the Riesling grape is the perfect opportunity to investigate this. Because ultimately, if you want to take Riesling seriously, if you want to look at what's over the pond, if you want to look at Germany, and you want to look at Austria, the true home of this grape, then you have to understand certain terms. Do you like petroleum in your wine? Do you like gasoline in your wine? Do you like slate? Do you like a great base minerality? If you don't know what those terms truly mean, then if I tell you, oh my God, this has a great creosote nose on it, I don't think you're going to find that appealing. And ultimately, that's what the history and foundation of Riesling is about, is the minerality and the petrol characteristics. Does that translate well into a label? No. Does it translate well into a wine recommendation? No. Which is why we're finding today more labels and more shows like The Crush and more blogs that try and make wine approachable. For me to convince you that the idea of smelling gasoline and to smell butane in your wine is a good thing, you're going to have an open mind. And the only way we can make people have an open mind is so that they're not scared of things. Because if you can find things approachable, you'll experience them. If you experience them, then hopefully you'll come to love them. And then, once you finally love them and you've discovered them, it's time to go back and research and to learn more about the history and what great things that the grape or the wine has done. So, Ford, you may have delusions of my adequacy, but when it comes down to it, if more people find out the joys of Rieslings, of Germany, of Austria, because of this segment and because of your email, then I guess you were worthwhile as being part of the crush. But ultimately, as I end every show and as we talk about all the time, it's not what you know, it's what you're willing to know. And if you take the time to go out and try things, if you take the time to get past the history, if you don't listen to people who are going to lecture you, if you actually go out, and I'd recommend this for all of you, get Randall Graham's new book. He's going to have a tongue-in-cheek, fun, lively outlook about wine. And he's probably going to shatter a lot of your illusions that you held, well, one about it in history, one about it in writings, but also in the boors that talk about it nonstop. So between the insights of Randall, the joys of the wine crush, hopefully we can teach you that, yes, the history for wine, it's definitely there and it's worth pursuing, but more importantly is the palate for wine and the taste for laughter and life that wine goes hand in hand with. Well, that's my soapbox for today, and right now I've got to wrap up the crush, but here, as always, we remind you, sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.